We're going to pick up where we left off last week on strengthening faith, as I mentioned earlier. We're going to reread our foundational scripture in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13, if you want to turn there with me. Holy Spirit just kind of took me over last week, and we only got through the introduction. So, that's all right. I guess God had his way, right?
Amen.
That's our goal. Hebrews 11, beginning to read in verse 8. Notice that there are three times that the Lord says, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, once again, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the gift of your word to us. And we pray today that as I bring this message, you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary. That, Lord, you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we only got through the introduction. We talked about the fact, first of all, that faith is the most important component of our walk in Christ. And we also talked about the fact that a true, vibrant, trusting faith in God pleases Him. And we looked at scriptures enforcing all of these ideas. And also we looked at the fact that faith is the evidence of a true Christian. If a person professes to be a Christian, but there is no evidence of faith, there is something wrong with that profession. They're not real. All right? So those are things that we really got into last week. Now we want to move on to the first major point, which is the fact that we must hear from God. We must hear from God. Hearing from God is then where we anchor our faith. Once we know we have heard something from God, we need to anchor our faith in that. Because God has spoken and we can trust God. So we then anchor our faith in what God has spoken. Whatever He has shown us in His Word, whatever He's brought alive in His Word, whatever He has whispered in our hearts, whatever maybe He brought through a preacher that hit the target in your heart, and you say, I just heard that from God. That came from God. However it comes, we must hear from God. And we see that in verse 8 of the text we just read. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Listen, that was no small thing. I have some understanding of that, because God has called me at different stages of my walk with Him to, well, for example, He called me into a business, and then after 16 years spoke to me. I just got into a place where everything was paid for, and in the physical, it's like, now I'm going to actually be able to make some money because everything's paid for. We might be able to have a little extra money now. And the Lord's like, no, I'm done with that. Close it up. Walk away from it. Trust me. I'm like, you mean put it up for sale? Turnkey operation. I'll sell it for what it's worth up and running. And then I've got my money and I'll come go do whatever you want me to. No. Trust me. Oh, Lord. Listen, if you've never lived anything like that, I'm just here to tell you, that is quite an experience. So, I can somewhat, small part, somewhat understand what maybe Abraham felt like when the Lord said, yeah, pack up everything and leave. I'll let you know after you start out where you're going. Okay. So, Romans 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So, I just said, our major point is that we must hear from God. Okay, so we hear from God, and then that builds faith in us. Okay? What did it say? Romans 10, 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Now, I want you to understand something about hearing. This is talking about goes further than what comes into these two things. See, hearing the message in this instance, and when we're talking about faith, is more than just noise entering these orifices right here. It's also receiving it, the message, into our hearts. Okay? So it's deeper than just hearing. It is receiving what the message is, what God has spoken. And then we attach our faith in that way, because we have received it into ourselves. We hear all kinds of things. This can go a long ways, but we're supposed to, Jesus said, guard your hearts, because out of it flows the wellspring of life. Am I telling you the truth? Okay. Now, I think this relates to this, because we are always hearing things. And we have got to discern what we are hearing. And the things that we discern are not from God, we need to scrap them. We need to guard our heart. We need to not receive it. You understand what I'm saying? Curses, for example, that are spoken over us, we need to not receive that. Just shed it off. Don't let it take root in you. You heard it here, but don't receive it. On the other hand, things that God is speaking to us, we need to be careful to make sure when we know it's from God, a message from God, that we receive it. We've heard it, but we need to receive it. Am I making sense to you? So consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The word, the word, the word, the word. If we are going to hear something from God, how do we discern what's from God and what's not from God? God will never speak anything to us that opposes His word. We do not, now listen to me, I'm going to tell you something that people misunderstand. We don't need to find an exact example of everything in the Word of God. Discerning requires that we discern whether what we believe was spoken opposes or violates God's word in any way. Because if it does, it's not from God. Because he will never violate his word. Ever. Never has, never will. So that's how we discern what's from God and what's not from God. When it's not from God, guard your heart. People are always speaking nasty things about people. It's human nature. It's even worse with social media now. You know? It is. Because, first of all, people are more apt to be mean on social media because they're not standing toe-to-toe with you. I'm not as big a guy as Bruce back here, but yet I'm a pretty good-sized guy. Most people don't get toe-to-toe with me and run their mouth off. They just don't. But they have no problem doing it on social media because they're so far removed. Am I making sense to you?
Yeah.
So we have cyberbullying going on. Young people are dealing with a lot of this. It's their world. I didn't grow up with computers and the like. I didn't. Ken, you didn't. We didn't have. Who would have ever dreamt? But now the young people that are growing up, they're dealing with all of this, the social media and the cyberbullying. It's rough. It was bad enough when it was face-to-face when we were kids. You gotta understand, I was a late bloomer. I wasn't big when I was in school, so I was a little psychotic. So, I didn't tolerate bullying. I've said that before. I used to go completely off the reservation if somebody started bullying me. So then I adopted the name Mano Leno. Ain't that a dandy? So, anyway, hearing the voice of God is the root of faith. Hearing the voice of God is the root of faith. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. We want to look there a moment. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. If you've got your Bibles, come with me. If you're taking notes, jot that down. So Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you.'" There is a lot in those three verses. There's a lot in there, guys. First of all, he said, again, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you." Can you imagine? Okay, just give me a clue, point me in a direction. And he goes on to say, "I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing." Now you got to understand, his wife was well beyond childbearing years. Well beyond. And had been buried. Besides, he was an old man. And God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Well, this requires to bring offspring. They had a lot to believe. But God spoke, and he received it. He didn't just hear it. He received it. He attached his faith to it. Okay? He got his faith anchored in God's word. Verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Listen, when you get a word from God and you're following after God and obeying and moving in the Spirit, when you're doing that, I know from experience that there are going to be many voices that tell you you're doing the wrong thing. Because that's the way the enemy works. And you will also be surprised by the people that those voices come out of. Many times it comes from the people that are closest to you. I've lived it. I had family members, when God called me into full-time ministry to walk away from my business, that said, I was absolutely out of my mind, and I must have brain damage from all the drugs I did. But I had a word from God. And I told them I'd follow him anyway. So was I going to turn back? No. Not at all. No way. When you know you've got a word from God, you guard your heart. Those that curse you, the curses that they speak will come right back on their own heads. We just looked at it. And when you're following after God, his blessings will chase you down the street. Those that would oppose the work of the Lord are fighting God himself, not you. Never forget that. You are following after God, and you are obeying him, and you know that you're on the path that God's got you on. When all of them voices start coming, and all of the curses start getting spoken over you. See, I understand. I had people say to me, who do you think you are? I don't think I'm anybody, but I think Jesus is everything. Amen. He says, whoever blesses you, I will bless. I've seen this over and over and over. People that bless a person that is in the path that God has for them, operating in that plan, those that bless that person will then also receive the blessing. Let's look back just a little ways in Genesis 11, verses 1 through 4. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 4. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. You know what this is talking about if you've been in the Word for a while. Don't you? Back up a little bit further, Genesis 9:1 says, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" They decided they wanted to build a tower. The language was universal. But here's where the problem was with that group. They were told to fill the earth. But they decided they would build a tower that reaches all the way to heaven if they could. And by doing that, they were all going to stay in one location. So they were not doing what God told them to do. He told them to fill the earth. See, it would take faith to spread out, to leave, to spread out. It's comfortable to be in your own familiar group. But at times God calls us to spread out. He told them to be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth, the whole earth. Guys, this faith walk, in this faith walk, God moves on his people to bring ministry all over the earth. Don't get so inward focused that you only see what's going on inside these four walls. This is good. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're gathering together in the name of Jesus and worshiping together, and we need to do this. But it should not stop there. There should be outreach. When we go out these doors, we should be sharing the faith with people, the faith that we profess. We should be out there, beating the bushes, into the highways and byways, and bringing the good news of the gospel. My friends, time is running out. We are walking in the last days. How long that is, I don't know. But I guarantee you, we are walking in the last days. It is very important that we share our faith with people, that we risk being made fun of. Some people will make fun of you. Some will slam the door on you. But there are also those, when you say to them, "You know, there's a better way. His name is Jesus." When you bring them to the place where you ask them, "What's going on in your life? How are you doing?" Oh, could I pray with you? Did you know that most people are open to being prayed with? Most people. Those that don't know the Lord, they are open to being prayed for. Just in case there is a God. You know, I've shared with you before, if you've been around here for a while, that before I truly got born again, when I got myself in trouble and I was walking in fear of being found out, I'd pray just in case. Just in case. I'd pray, because just in case there really was a God there that could do something for me. And I'd even make a bunch of promises. I call it the God is a box faith. I keep God in a box up on a shelf, and when I got myself in trouble, I'd get that box down, take the lid off, and let him out, just in case. And after the trouble was past, I'd put the box back up on the shelf and tell God, "Don't call me, I'll call you." And I'd forget all about all the promises I made him. Oh, Lord, if you just get me out of this, I'll serve you, I'll do this. Never kept one of his promises. Is anybody else here as goofy as me and being honest enough to say at least some facsimile of that? Maybe not exactly like I was, but some facsimile of that. That's not a faith walk. Since I got born again, when I pray for something, I expect it. I expect the answer. Because I know in my knower that God is real. He speaks to me, and my faith is anchored in what He speaks to me. Faith does not come from guessing at the will of God. There are those that guess at the will of God because they haven't heard a word from the Lord, so they make something up, take a guess at it, and then try to anchor their faith in that. It hasn't worked. It never will work. That never will work. Got to hear from God. There is no value in guessing at the will of God. You and I, every single one of us, needs to come to the place in our walk with Christ where we hear God speak. We've got to come to that place. Jesus said, "My people know my voice." Am I telling you the truth? That's what Jesus said. "My people know my voice." So if you are one of His people, then you will hear Him speak through His word or that still small voice in ear. There's many different avenues that God speaks. And we've got to learn to be sensitive to that and receive from Him what He speaks. Always discern it. Remember, Satan appears as an angel of light to deceive many. So we need to apply the discernment I was talking with you earlier about. All right? But we have got to be open to hearing the voice of God through whatever avenues that He speaks to us. It might come by dreams. It might come by visions. God speaks to me in many, many different ways. Not like Moses. I've not had a face-to-face encounter. But He speaks to me in many different ways over the years. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How do we know His will? Hearing from Him. We want His will in a given situation? Hear from Him. Take the time to be still and listen. When you're in prayer, don't spend all your time talking. He gave us one mouth to speak with and two ears to listen with. So we're supposed to spend twice as much time listening as we are talking when we're in prayer. How do you like that? Many, many people don't learn the art of sitting before God and listening. Not that God can't speak to you in the midst of all of the noises of the world, because He can. He can. But He desires us to have that intimate communion with Him where we sit before Him and take our marching orders from him. Almost every day, I go out, I've told you this before, I go out and I sit out of the cattail, all by myself, in my vehicle. I got a Bible in my vehicle, I got a note that I have a book that I make myself notes in, and that's one of the places where I just sit quietly before the Lord. Sometimes there's wildlife out there, that's kind of cool, it's peaceful. And I just sit before the Lord, and it's not like every day I hear from God doing that. It's not like that at all. But it's every day sitting there with God, communing with him. Am I making sense to you? See, he created us for communion. He created us to have relationship with us. So this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Genesis 12, 6 through 7. Genesis 12, 6 through 7. Says Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So Abram got another word from the Lord. Here's the account. He appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." There was a lot of hassle with that, wasn't there? We don't have time to cover all that today, but there was a lot of hassle that went on with that. Disobedience. Exodus 3 and verse 2 says, "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up." So we see the promise to Abram. Moses is raised up to deliver those disobedient people that had not been following by God's design, the life that he had for them. So they ended up in bondage. 400 years. Spent 400 years in bondage because of disobedience. And people today think that God would never judge us. Wrong. And he does it because he loves us. So Moses is raised up by God to deliver the people that were promised to come as offspring from the lineage of Abram. Are you with me? They were in bondage because of disobedience for 400 years. God speaks to Moses of all things from a burning bush. That should make us pay attention. I'm talking to you about hearing from God to strengthen our faith. Pay attention, because he might appear anywhere and speak from anything. In this case, it was a burning bush. And the fire in the bush didn't burn the bush up. That'll get your attention. Acts 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts 9, verses 1 through 6. Beginning to read. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, guys, this is an amazing experience. Here's a guy, Saul, he's zealous for the Lord. He thinks he's doing what's right because he's still all hung up on the old covenant. He was not ready to receive the new covenant. So he was fighting against the way. Okay? And God says, okay, watch this. See, he knew Saul's heart. And he knew that after he did what he had to literally make Saul see the light and become Paul, that he would be able to use him. This Saul ended up being the one that wrote basically a third of the New Testament under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And he was persecuting those that were in the way, those that were walking in this new faith in Jesus Christ, and not operating under the old covenant. So, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Interesting. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" You think he might have had a clue? Interesting to me that the response Jesus gave him was, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Didn't say, "You're persecuting my servants. You're persecuting my disciples." He said, "I'm the one you're persecuting." When someone starts persecuting you, when you are operating in faith, following after God, they are not persecuting you. They are persecuting Christ. It's right here. And they're messing with the wrong people. You don't abuse believers and get away with it. Not forever, you know. There is literally hell to pay for abusing God's people. "Well, Pastor Wayne, how can you say that?" Well, we can look many places if we had the time, but we're not going to do that this morning. But I am going to show you that you don't mess with God's people. You understand, we just talked about 400 years of bondage for God's people, and they were being abused. They were abused. God allowed that to happen to get them to the place where they would cry out to him. I find it rather interesting it took 400 years. That's some pretty hard-hearted people, not that we don't have plenty of hard-hearted people today. So, he puts them in bondage under godless people that are idolaters. Am I telling you the truth? And they abused his people. But what happened after he was done with that? He destroyed the nation that abused him. The horse and the rider and the chariots and everything ended up belly up in the sea. You don't abuse God's people and get away with it. Turn with me to Acts 10, verses 9 through 16. This will be our last scripture today. We're about out of time. Acts 10, 9 through 16, beginning to read. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and the birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Why did I take us to this scripture? Here's why. This is a fine example of people having a hard time moving from one covenant to the next. It's like, "Surely not! Because guess what? Those were unclean animals under the old covenant." And the Lord's showing them, "No, no. This is a new covenant. And now I've declared this clean. And if I've declared it clean, it is no longer unclean. Under the new covenant, this is made clean." Peter was having a struggle with that, but he got it straightened out. Now, there was only two covenants, and I believe there's only going to be two covenants. There was the old covenant, and there's the new covenant. So you and I, we haven't had to go through that transition from being raised and trained under the old covenant and then transitioned into the new covenant. But there are some things that we don't do go through. God doesn't do the same thing in the exact same way twice ever. Why am I telling you this? Well, how many of you have been praying with me and believing for the renewal, the revival that we need in this land and in the earth? Okay, as we're doing that, myself especially, I'm very interested in revival. I've told you this before. I have an astronomical amount of stuff about revivals of old that I've read over the years. Especially when I was a new believer, I was just devouring thousands of pages of this stuff. I have newspaper clippings of revivals back in the early 1900s. I have actual newspaper clippings, a book that is compiled of all of these newspaper clippings from back then. I have all kinds of stuff from revivals of old. But see, every one of the revivals was, God did something different. Why am I telling you this? Because I don't want you so expectant for God to do exactly what he's done in the past that you begin to miss it and call what God's going to do now not of God. Now, we do need to be discerning, right? Absolutely need to be discerning. But we need to measure it the way I said. Does anything oppose God's word? If it doesn't, probably of God. But when this thing breaks out, and it has started, if you've not been following Mario Murillo Ministries, I'm telling you, God has ignited a fresh move of God through that ministry. But it's not going to stay only in that ministry. It's going to spread at some point. And I'm praying, I want some of that. I want whatever you want to do here, Lord, for this region. I want to be in the middle of that. I want all of God. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you guys to miss it. I want us to be proactive, used in that revival, because we're willing to labor in that revival. Whatever it looks like when God does it. Personally, I think we're going to be blown away by what God does through our children. I am expecting at some point that in this church we will have our young people up here praying for people, and miracle after miracle will be happening. Because God is going to ignite this young generation. I believe that with my whole heart. Now, trust me, there will be some old school people that will say, God can't do that through children. Wrong answer. God can do whatever he wants to through whoever he wants to. So as we strengthen our faith in God, not in man, as we strengthen our faith in God, we have got to be open for whatever God decides he wants to do. And when he is in it, it will not violate his scripture. Amen? Are you ready? Are you excited? I sure am. I want to see these young people. I want to see my grandchildren and great-grandchildren so fired up that I can just sit back for a while and just watch them go. You understand what I'm saying? And literally be their cheerleaders. Go get them, guys. Well, we're going to quit there today. It's 11 o'clock. Let's stand up. Father, as we stand before you right here in this place, we just have a desire to empty ourselves of self and just open ourselves up to you. Lord, here we are. Take us, fill us, use us for your glory. Lord, as we are walking in these last days and believing, uniting our faith and believing for a renewal and a revival in this land, Lord, make us receptive to however you decide to do it. Lord, raise up, fill our young people with your spirit. Lord, we need their energy. And we just pray that you will ignite them and so move through them by the power of your Spirit. Lord, help us as a church to sow your word into these young people, into everyone, and create disciples. It's what you've called us to do. And now, Lord, as we leave this place this morning, bring us back safely. Use us throughout this week and bring us back safely to receive more marching orders, more instruction from you, Lord God, next Sunday. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.